Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Well, it is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Very special guest out of Connecticut today, this weekend is Ken Gronbach. Ken is an expert demographer, a futurist, and generational marketer. A whole bunch more as well. We'll learn over the few segments that we have Ken with today on the show. Just a few moments away, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, out of New York and Boca. PR gets a bad rap. We'll see what that's all about. Also, a little bit later on, Gene Bliss, the customer experience, and we'll be doing, Brad, some customer yoga so that we all know that we'll feel real good at the end of the show. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. I think we'll let me get my mat out, and we'll listen to what Gene has to say.
Actually, we're doing frozen yoga today, so it's a good thing.
I'm low fat.
Low fat yoga. They ought to come up with a class like that, too, as well. So we'll get a chance to meet Ken here in just a moment. The Television Bureau of Advertising this past week lowered its television station revenue forecast for 2009. Well, that's no surprise.
You and I could have done that.
I think. Well, that reminds me, this past week on the news, they put together a committee. It has taken a year for this committee to figure out what passengers have rights on airlines if airlines get stuck short of getting the jetway there on the tarmac. Remember how that the JetBlue incident and a couple of other ones where people were literally stranded on an airplane for hours? It has taken this committee, which is in itself ought to say something, a year now, and they still haven't defined how too much time is on the tarmac so that you have to do something about it. They're still working on the very, very, very first point, if you can believe that. So, way to go, committee. Hopefully you've not been appointed to the president's cabinet, because that would be a problem then, okay? But anyway, so, yeah, television advertising down, they're forecasting because of the what's going on now. You know, this is interesting too, Brad. This is about bank advertising, financial advertising, Wachovia, Washington Mutual, not in such good shape. And what's happening now is these smaller banks, little town banks, the certain state-owned banks and such are picking up the slack and saying, you know what, guys, we're local, we're cool, and we really would like your business. So basically, there's a bank in Birmingham, Alabama, running a campaign which is tweaking a competitor. First American Bank, the First American parent, Alabama National Bank Corp, was acquired by the Royal Bank of Canada. A TV spot for Superior shows a bank where the tellers are a Mountie, a hockey player, and a moose. So I like the fact that, you know, somebody's picked up the slack here and they're doing some good stuff with advertising. You know, just because we've got a tough economic time does not mean you should not be advertising. And if you are not advertising, you are going to be behind those when it all comes back that have continued to carry the banner. So a word of warning.
You know, headline for a local bank for a print ad, your big bank benefit just became a risk or a liability, however you want to use that. But, I mean, I think that's a great idea you were talking about. You know, local banks now, as you mentioned, Ray, have figured out that what was once a disadvantage, being a locally independent operated financial institution, is now all of a sudden a benefit, and they figured out in short order, you know, how to leverage that. So, you know, if you're like most people, you may see now a locally owned bank is more attractive, and a big multi-location, you know, bank located in your home office out of North Carolina as not such an attractive option. So that's interesting. Real quickly, I wanted to mention that Microsoft is said to be moving closer to an agreement with Verizon to become the default search provider on the wireless carrier's cell phone, a deal that rival Google has been seeking. Microsoft would share revenue with Verizon from ads in response to cell phone web searches. So could be interesting if Microsoft gets that. That'd be a nice coup for them.
I think it's a great thing. That's fantastic. Shamin Abbas, activist for excellence. PR gets a bad rap. We'll find out what that's all about right now.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Let's talk about how PR gets a bad rap. I recently read commentary from a respected PR and media expert who was cautioning publicists about inadvertently offending people. The example he used was a publicist who pitched the media in the wake of comedian George Carlin's death with a query if they need someone to speak about talking dirty, pop culture, or method to madness to call her, and she'd put them in touch with someone who could comment. This is right up there with another PR legend, the publicist who touted a client's product as the official comfort food of a nation a week after September 11th. As in any industry, it's the outrageous things that are remembered while the rest of us just keep relentlessly plugging away, doing our jobs and coming up with new angles on behalf of our clients. PR professionals are referred to as flacks or spin doctors, and many consumers think of us only as the people who speak in a celebrity's stead after they've gotten in trouble and are trying to make excuses. Yet the definition of public relations is rather simple. Public relations helps an organization and its audience adapt mutually to each other and fosters mutually beneficial relationships. The majority of us working in PR are doing just that, working. We're immersing ourselves in a client's story, generating pitches, creating events, coordinating speaking engagements, helping a client network, and coordinating grassroots outreach. As in any industry, there will always be those who transgress the socially accepted norms in the name of, I was just trying to get publicity for my client. But we are required to be sensitive to the various audiences our clients appeals to, and sensitive to the media perception of that message. A blunder like those I mentioned above is literally a crisis that requires damage control. Irony, anyone?
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Shamin Abbas, thank you as always with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Ken Groenbach out of Connecticut will be joining us here. It's actually going to be talking about a new book, and we hope you will find it very interesting, interesting enough to go out and buy it, right? The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. It sounds like a rather interesting storm to head our way. Basically, Ken built his own $40 million advertising agency by anticipating markets and growing clients, Ken's ability to forecast the future, of commerce, that is, in culture and economics, and unparalleled is in his field. Long-range planning without Ken's insights are like driving at night without lights, which is not the smartest thing to do. So in addition to the book, Ken has a whole bunch of other things that he's involved in as well, and we'll learn more about Ken and find out about what's happening in his world as well. With the Advertising Show here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Being powered by Shipple.com. It's a platform called Tendency. It's a powerful marketing tool. Check it out at Shipple. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn. Or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schilling and Brad Forsyth.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
My Coca-Cola, Ken, is the real thing. Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth, Ken Kronbach out of Connecticut. Whereabouts in Connecticut, Ken?
Right, I didn't ask you. We're just south of Middletown, and Middletown is so named because it's...
In the middle?
It's in the middle.
Oh, that's good. That's
good. We're right on the beautiful Connecticut River, second only to the Rhine in its beauty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be over later after the show.
Okay.
Ken is author of a brand new book called The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. And Ken, welcome to The Advertising Show. So good to have you here.
Glad to be here. Very glad.
You know, since we're going to talk about demographics, when Ray was mentioning last segment that working in today's world without the guidance of Ken Kronbach is like driving a car without your headlights, depending on your age, it could be just like driving a car at night, regardless of whether you have headlights on or not. But let's talk a little bit about your book. First off, Ken, the underlying message of your book, please.
The underlying message of the book is that there are five different generations in the United States as we speak, and they are different sizes. And as they pass through the time continuum, what you can expect from these different generations is very predictable based on their size. So the premise is very, very simple. And it has to do with the fact that the baby boomers are big, and the generation that immediately follows the baby boomers is small, which is what precipitated the housing crisis. Because as the baby boomers attempted to sell their starter castles to the people who would normally be at the age that would normally start to buy them, Generation X simply does not have the critical mass to buy the baby boomers' houses.
Hmm.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the, you said six demographic cells, if you will, and we're going to talk about each one of those. And I guess the one that we're losing in greatest numbers nowadays is what you identify as the GI generation. Talk a little bit about this group.
GI generation was born 1905 to 1924. It was a huge generation. There were about 60 million of them born in the United States, live births. And during that same time period, we experienced an enormous amount of immigration from Europe, about a million people a year. So that's the generation that begat the baby boomers. And it was huge. Now, right now, those are the people that are 84 years old plus, and there's only about 5 million of them left, and most of them are women, because women live longer than men. But once that generation goes, this whole concept of the graying of America and, the empirical concept of we're going to be overrun by elderly people will disappear, because the generation that follows this generation is called the silent generation, born 1925 to 1944, and it is the smallest generation of the last 100 years.
Wow.
And during 1925 to 1944, there was no immigration. In fact, people went the other way. So it's you don't want to get into the assisted living business right now, because as the GI generation passes, we have the Grand Canyon of generations called the silent generation, and they are currently 64 to 83.
Okay. And from what you say, that generation is not going to take the same route to aging as what you call the GI generation, correct?
That's true. The generations tend to think of aging differently, and the most notable is the boomer, because the boomer generation, the boomers were born 1945 to 1964. And the boomers are going to refuse to get old. In fact, they are. They're going to, it's 60 is the new 40.
Mm-hmm. Gee, I can't wait to get there.
Yeah, that'll be a great birthday for you, Ray, and you'll drink like you were 20 again, I guess. You know, when you talk about, and I think, you know, we, Ray and I, are both of the baby boomer generation. I believe you probably are as well, Ken,
yep.
And many of our listeners are. And we know from certainly personal experience that when you look at our parents, when they were our age, they tended to want to grow into their golden years. And we baby boomers are going kicking and screaming and refuse to get into any typical mindset of aging, so to speak, when you look back on previous generations. What should marketers know most about the baby boomers when it comes to reaching this particular market?
Well, the thing that they really need to know is whatever the baby boomers decide to buy, they inhale. I mean, and they do so with a vengeance. But according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, an interesting thing happens at age 50, and that is your consumption drops like a stone. We're at our peak earnings at age 50, and right now the very apex, the very top of the baby boomers, where the most of them were born, 1957, 58, 59, 60, and 61. That's the part of the baby boomers that defines the baby boomers, where there were over 4 million live births per year during those years. Wherever that goes, that defines what the baby boomers are going to consume. Now, so the peak of the baby boomers were born in 1957 with 4.3 million live births. That particular year now, of course, is 51 years old, and on the backside of this consumption level doesn't mean they're going to stop consuming. It just means that they will not consume at the levels that they've consumed before. But if you put something in front of them that they want, like an over 55 community or a big screen TV with all kinds of bells and whistles, they will inhale it. But that's not the most exciting thing about what's happening to the marketplace.
Well, hold the next exciting thing, okay, Ken? Because we're going to find out about that as well. Here with Ken Groenbach and Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Ken is the author of The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm on The Advertising Show. Hope you stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Welcome back. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest out of Connecticut, Ken Groenbach. The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. Ken, it's great to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome back.
My pleasure.
Yeah, before we continue talking about the baby boomers, I want to come back to something you said last segment. At age 50, consumption drops across the board. I'm curious. I always think of, as you look at baby boomers, they live like there is no tomorrow. So I'm thinking, certainly this isn't all of a sudden a wake-up call to, my goodness, my money's not going to last. Or what would be the reason why consumption drops at age 50, Ken?
I think, you know, that's really a psychographic question and more than a demographic question, but my guess is they because they've been at their peak earnings for a few years, the baby boomers pretty much have what they want. And the irony is, and I'm told, that, you know, these self-store places that you see everywhere, that's the baby boomers storing their stuff. They're not ready to get rid of it, but they don't need any more, so they store it, so they can go look at it from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. You know, I often think, you know, these storage units could, you know, once the baby boomer generation dies off, it could be great housing for the homeless, but that'll be another show.
Well, they've done that, Brad. They've got the old freight cars that they put on the, you know, on the boats and everything to turn it into homes, actually high-end homes. Good idea.
Well, that's interesting, but let's go back. You said the 50 consumption drop is not the most exciting thing about the baby boomer, and you were about to say what it is.
Well, the baby boomer is not the most exciting thing that's going on in the marketplace right now. What is exciting is Generation Y, currently 23 and under. There are about 90 million of them, and we've been tracking this generation very, very carefully because their per capita consumption is through the roof, and their per capita influence on consumer spending is at record levels. And never before have we seen kids that actually influence, you know, the cars that are bought in the home. Actually, where people live, what their, you know, the kind of, you know, electronic equipment their parents buy, because the parents can't buy it by themselves. Mm-hmm. But these kids under 23 years old are being credited with Obama's victory, and they're beginning to flex their muscles. And when they reach the they're going to put apparel back on the Mac, on the map, because the clothing sales, it goes through the roof as this group starts to look for mates, because it's plumage. Yeah. So historically, you're going to see clothing stores come back, especially boutique type shops come back with a vengeance. Very, very exciting market, Generation Y.
And what can you differentiate between the previous Gen X generation versus Generation Y? I mean, are there certain considerations when it comes to marketing and advertising to the Gen Y market?
Yeah, 20 million people. Yeah. I don't mean to be curt about that, but under the Gen X on a good day, Gen X at their best was under 70 million. Gen Y, now, of course, the Gen Y is a little bit longer than Gen X, but it's still, you know, the fact is the fact, is over 90 million already.
Wow.
So all of the things that suffered under Gen Y, and in fact, in my book, I point out that motorcycle sales, when Japanese motorcycles were bought by men 16 to 24 years old, when Gen Y entered that demo and the baby boomers exited, they closed all the Japanese motorcycle dealers. What's going to happen now is, as Gen Y enters that demo, which it's filling up, you're going to see all the things that went south as Gen Y went through the time continuum are going to come back like you won't believe with Gen Y.
You know, in the minute we have left, the one category we have not touched upon, or the demographic cell here, was the Latinos, roughly 20 to 40 year old Latinos in particular. Give us the highlights of this particular market.
This particular demo fascinates me, and I don't differentiate the Latinos that are born here, but let's talk about the immigrants. And the U.S. Census put the number of immigrants between 20 and 40 in our country in August at about 45 million. So it's huge. But what they came in here to take up the slack that the Generation X, in terms of the labor market, jobs that Generation X could not take just simply because they didn't have the critical mass. So they poured into our country. But this particular demo is wonderful. They're wonderful food customers. They shop twice as often as the people that are born here, and I think that's typical of their culture. What's happening, and now that the glass ceiling is shattered, and shattered for minorities, and shattered for immigrants, and shattered for women, you're going to see the Latinos rocket through the corporate culture, and they're not going to be victims of subprime loans. They're going to be able to get their own mortgages and buy their own cars and be Americans and enjoy the dream just like everybody else.
Our special guest is Ken Groenbach out of Connecticut, The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. Lots more to talk about. We've got another segment to do that here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
I love the sound of the rain.
And I love the taste of your fresh brewed coffee.
Thanks, but it's not.
The book is called The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. The author is Ken Gronbach out of Connecticut with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
Now, let me get some quick reactions to some comments that you've made. You're quoted as saying 2% do the work, 2% cause the trouble, the rest eat food. What are we saying there, Ken?
I'm saying that, you know, I think that the 2% of the people do all of the thinking for the rest of us, and 2% of the people, we have 2% of our men anyway in jail, and the rest of the people just kind of go with the flow.
You know, you're also quoted as saying Coke versus Pepsi, and that when it comes to Coke versus Pepsi, Coke can't win. I'm sure there's a demographic answer there somewhere.
Well, it is, because what Coke has not been able to do is market to Gen Y. Gen Y right now, you know, from Madison Avenue, is somewhat of an enigma. You know, people think that it's simple. All you have to do is advertise on the internet. But, you know, good luck with that, because it's so fragmented you can't reach them. The one edge that Coke had over Pepsi was they were better marketers. And now that edge is taken away in this new emerging market, I put my money on Pepsi.
Wow.
So is that why you're saying the internet advertising isn't working today?
I am saying internet advertising is not working anywhere near as well as it could.
Because of fragmentation?
It's enormous fragmentation, and it's vexing our entire industry.
So when you say there's a new housing market coming, are you really talking about Gen Y?
Yes, I am. Gen Y, one of the cool things about Gen Y, you see, the baby boomers were all blue-collar laborers. Remember what we used to call them that, the blue-collar laborers? All the
sure,
things?
Right.
Right. Well, that's the 140 million people that are in the workforce, the lion's share of the blue-collar workers, in quotes, are retiring at the rate of 1 every 8 seconds. So Generation Y is rising to the occasion, and these kids are going into technical schools all across the United States. And technical schools used to be where we sent our recalcitrants. Now it's where we send our best and brightest. So these kids are going to be able to make $100,000 a year at 20 years old. Do you think they're going to buy a house? Yes, they will.
Sure they will, yeah.
And yet they're waiting later, I assume, to marry. Am I correct in thinking that way?
No, we're watching that closely, too. The age people get married is basically around 26 years old. And the average carat weight for the diamond is 1 carat. I mean, when my wife and I got married, we were glad that we could see the diamond.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when they cut away and get that 1 carat, whatever's left on the ground is usually what our generation used for our engagement rings.
Right. But up until recently, a trip to on a ship and it went up to 1 carat, so that's good.
Yeah. So. What's Detroit not doing correctly? I mean, you hear about the problems today with GM and certainly the rest of the major automobile manufacturers. What are they doing wrong when it comes to demographics?
It's what they're not doing. Because, put the monetary crisis aside, because there's nothing we can do about that. And that really doesn't, the demography of that is, you know, I don't have the answer to that. What Detroit is not doing is they're not paying close attention to the emerging Gen Y market, and the Asian manufacturers are. And it's paying off in spades for them, because if you look at the preference that Gen Y has in cars, it's Asian.
So you keep emphasizing, as you have in your book, the Gen Y market. Is it a market that's been overlooked by marketers, or what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is that there has been an overemphasis on the boomers. In fact, if you put demography into the, you know, Google search, and everybody in marketing wants to know what the boomers are doing.
Sure.
Gen Y is going to change everything. Gen Y is going to change department stores. Gen Y is going to change small business and industry. Gen Y is going to change automobiles. Gen Y is going to change recreation. Gen Y is going to change everything.
Hmm. And one final question. You in your book, you discuss the oil crisis and how you believe OPEC will have to dramatically reduce the price of oil and keep it there. Although this would certainly make, I think, all of our listeners happy. I don't know. It seems counterintuitive to hear that. Explain yourself.
Well, gas here in Connecticut, I just paid today $2.07 a gallon. I paid as much as like 4.25.
Right.
We watched the gas price go up. It's the dead last thing OPEC wants, because once we're forced to go into alternative energy, all they have to sell is oil and sand, and we're not going to buy too much sand. So what's happened? What's happened in the last month and a half is the prices have come down. Do we really know why the prices have come down? I think OPEC might have had something to do with that.
Right, exactly.
So I could go on and on. If I ask you another question, Ray, we're going to be out of time. I'd like to remind everyone, if they'd like to go see more about what Ken has to say,
KGCDirect.com is the website. The brand new book is The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. Might be a good read for you and beneficial as well if you're in business or just want to find out more about the demography of what's coming up. So, Ken, continued success. Thanks for writing the book. You've covered a rather interesting area for us, and we appreciate you being here on The Advertising Show.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schiller and Brad Forsyth, back with more in just a minute.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for Ford.
Standing on the corner, watching all the Fords go by.
And a very special thank you to our guest today, Ken Gronbach, author of The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. Good stuff today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Brad, who is that? You've got the guest in for next week. Who's going to be here?
Yeah, author David Labonte of a book called Shiny Objects Marketing, Using Simple Human Instincts to Make Your Brand Irresistible. So it should be a good interview.
Shiny Objects Marketing, huh? I think that's
pretty
cool.
You know, it's the old slang, you know, in a dark room or in a room, your eye goes to the shiny object. That's a little play on that. We'll see what David has to say about that next week.
Okay, good. With Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth, we've got a segment coming up here, as we promised. Gene Bliss, our customer experience, customer yoga. Doesn't that sound nice and relaxing and just something you want to be part of? It does to me, at least. So go ahead. I'm pulling something out here as far as an article that I want to talk about, but I'm sure you've got something there as well.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping to say this, get into this last week, but time got away from us, but I think it's still worthy to talk about. CNN emails to tell us a few weeks ago that they brought in 27 million unique visitors to their site on Election Day. A record, according to ComScore, says that the average just 5 million unique visitors in September. So that's more than five times the normal traffic. The site also generated an astounding 276 million page views. An average day on CNN had been about 35 million, according to ComScore. So great day for CNN.com for the election a few weeks ago.
Absolutely. I've got this is out of Advertising Age, and it says basically it's a prediction as we get close to the end of the year, of course. It says in 2009, personal care ads will rise while food ads will fall. I guess they're talking about fast food, I would imagine, or something along those lines. It's a tale of two strategies for packaged good manufacturers and marketers. Several food companies hiked U.S. spending last quarter as bigger spenders in the household and personal care space, such as P&G and Unilever, appear to have cut back substantially. But next year, it looks like the story will flip. A combination of moderating commodity prices and a stronger dollar in U.S. market that suddenly looks pretty good in comparison with the rest of the world. How did that happen? Will help household and personal care companies in 2009 and quite possibly result in restored spending. But for food companies such as Kraft Foods and Kellogg's, buoyed by much more than household and personal care by price hikes in the past year, 2009 could bring strong deflationary pressures that could also pressure ad spending. So that's an interesting segment that we can look out for here. On the Advertising Show, well, what is it? It's Gene Bliss. Let's listen.
Welcome to the Customer Experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Here's a dose of customer yoga to manage your nerves during this season of spending woe. It's give what you get. It's a jungle out there right now, and if we all let our stretched rubber bands go flying, well, somebody's gonna lose an eye. Thanks, Mom. Before you call that call center as a customer, remember the gal on the other end of the line is a stretched rubber band too. You'll get a lot more back if you decompress before you call. Just wrap your tone in velvet. Try a little tenderness for whoever answers the phone. Who knows, maybe the recession or whatever we're not supposed to call this state we're in of 2008 could go down as the time when we all grew humanity instead of the economy. While our bank balances may be a bit thinner, as people, we'd all be richer for working through this time with grace.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Oh, I guess it's our turn. I was still kind of relaxed from the yoga part of that feature here with Gene Bliss. And Gene, as always, a pleasure to have you here at the Advertising Show. Tell us again, you've still got it there, but I don't see it. Our guest next week, please.
Yeah, David Labonte, author of Shiny Objects Marketing. Great book. Who's the publisher here to give him a plug? Wiley.
Wiley. Okay. Very good. What do you have going on there?
Well, you know, I was going to mention, Ray, that, CBS has decided, and I think it's a brilliant idea, to begin running full-length TV shows on the video sharing website. The move apparently is their more recent attempt by the Google-owned site to boost advertising revenue, along with post-roll ads and some videos and new systems that allow users to purchase items featured in the video. A mix of archived CBS shows, including Star Trek, Young and Restless, your favorite, Ray, as well as Beverly Hills 90210, I should say, will all be available, full-length episodes of 20 minutes to 48 minutes. The site also said it was in talks with other networks to forge similar deals. So YouTube, CBS, getting together to air some full-length shows, albeit some of the old stuff.
Well, sure. I found WKRP in Cincinnati on. They've got about, I think, 10 episodes up there at least that you could watch. On the computer,
and on YouTube.
Well, it's okay. Not on YouTube. No, it's on another site, and I've got the site bookmarked. I don't remember what it is offhand, but yeah. It was kind of cool. And they're running commercials and such in there, and that's just fine with me. No problem. I kind of enjoyed that though. That was neat to have some of that stuff available here. You know, you're working late or something like that, and you still want to work, but maybe enjoy something of a classic and kind of a cool show. As it relates to radio, it was a nice change of pace. So it was enjoyable to watch as well. we've got the Christmas holiday advertising in full swing as well. Macy's asking consumers to believe, citing a challenging holiday shopping environment. And when has there not been a challenging holiday shopping environment? Macy's is launching a campaign themed Believe. It emphasizes the spirit of Christmas over value messaging. JWT New York is the agency. Draws inspiration from the famous Yes, Virginia, the letter that ran in the Times, or the Sun, I should say, back in 1897. You were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
Sure you were.
It was great.
The little girl wrote the newspaper asking if Santa Claus was real. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. The retail chain spending $637.6 million on measured media last year, not including its online spending. We'll begin the holiday blitz. It's underway. Newspaper ads, reprinting the original letter, star-studded television, Jessica Simpson, Donald Trump, Martha Stewart, Carlos Santana. You've seen those spots before as well on TV, so that's kind of a cool campaign. Nothing wrong with the way Macy's does business. That's a great store. And true to tradition, it's nice that they're still around. They've been around here a long time.
You know, real quickly, I just want to mention, I saw a branding spot on Macy's that shows the old TV clips from Carson, old movies and so forth.
Outstanding. What a great idea. It really grounds them, and it really sent the right message to consumers that we are the store, we've been here, we understand, and we're still here. I like that.
Right.
Good idea. Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at age.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you'll be back with us next week. And, of course, tell a friend, too. The Advertising Show is a big Radio Midgets production.